Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coca-Cola FEMSA's conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we'll open the conference up for questions and answers after the presentation. During this conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I will now turn the conference over to Mr. José Castro, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Castro.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Last Monday, we announced a merger agreement with the major controlling shareholders of Grupo FEMSA to integrate their franchise territories with those of Coca-Cola FEMSA. During our call, Carlos Salazar and Héctor Treviño will share their thoughts and key remarks on this merger agreement, the second such announcement in less than 3 months, and then close this conference call by addressing any questions you may have. I will now turn the call over to Carlos Salazar, CEO of Coca-Cola FEMSA.
Good morning, everyone. As Jose just noted, less than 3 months ago, we had the opportunity to share with you details of the merger agreement with the beverage division of Grupo Tampico. As you may remember, both Herman and Robert Fleischman, soon to be shareholders of Coca-Cola FEMSA, were with us during the call. And when I said that we needed a larger table, I mean it. This time, I am honored to speak on behalf of Grupo FEMSA main shareholders to briefly describe their franchise operation and then highlight what this transaction means for our new joint business and for the Mexican Coca-Cola bottling system. Grupo FEMSA's foundation goes back to 1925 when Mr. Antonio Rivera Venegas started a small packaging businesses in the city of Orizaba in the state of Veracruz. After several years of relentless effort and hard work, Mr. Rivera's entrepreneurship was rewarded in 1936 with his first Coca-Cola franchise agreement for certain territories in the center of Mexico. In 1943, Embotelladora de Cuernavaca was established in the state of Morelos, with additional franchises secured in Toluca and Altamirano in 1955 and 1975, respectively. More than three generations of the family have responsibly managed and grown these bottling assets, resulting in what is now one of the largest Coca-Cola franchises in Mexico. It currently operates three bottling facilities and 18 distribution centers that serve more than 5 million consumers through 74,000 clients. For the year 2011, this franchise is expected to sell close to 160 million unit cases of beverage. Today, we proudly join forces with another respect family-owned Mexican Coca-Cola franchise, Grupo FEMSA. Together, once we close our previously announced merger with Grupo Tampico's beverage division, we will achieve an even clearer leadership position in the Mexican Coca-Cola bottling system, one of the largest sources of value in the global beverage industry. We engage in this transaction, which provides significant benefits for every party involved, not only as a way to expand our footprint in Mexico, but also because we believe it presents compelling alternatives for value creation. For our new partners, it represents a tangible investment opportunity that allows them to continue participating in our industry by leveraging Coca-Cola FEMSA's large and diversified geographic footprint across Latin America. At the same time, it enables their talent pool to become a part of our multicultural team of professionals, which has developed significant market knowledge and enhance operating capabilities across our markets. This clearly translates into greater mobility and cross-fertilization opportunities for them across our combined franchise territories. As an organization, we have a proven track record of not only integrating businesses, but also, more importantly, developing people. At Coca-Cola FEMSA, we have always pursued alternatives to strengthen both our business and our talent base, allowing us to improve our learning process and to enhance our operating and go-to-market capabilities to serve and satisfy a growing base of demanding consumers. Similarly to Grupo Tampico's beverage division, Grupo FEMSA has developed vast experience in home delivery routes. They have built a large and profitable jug-water businesses and the expertise to execute this important home delivery sales channel, which will help us to further reach these consumers with our multi-category portfolio. Additionally, through this merger, Coca-Cola FEMSA will start participating in the sugar industry by vertically integrating our business with Grupo FEMSA's stake in Grupo Piazza, an important participant in the Mexican sugar industry. Our combined business will have the necessary scale, expertise, and passion to serve more than 60 million consumers in Mexico through more than 750,000 clients, positioning us at the forefront of the Mexican bottling system. Since we have operated as neighbors, we will both benefit from our contiguous bottling businesses, the resulting synergy opportunities, and our deep understanding of consumer dynamics across our territories. This is clearly a meaningful merger, so I would like to briefly focus your attention on important topics other than key business issues. Through the social ideals and legacy of Mr. Antonio Rivera Venegas Foundation, together we will generate increased social and economic value for our shareholders and the communities where we operate, complementing our commitment to social responsibility in Mexico. In summary, as you can tell from our remarks, our company continues to move in the right direction, taking firm, fast, and successive steps to reinforce our capabilities and talent base, our businesses, our system, and the vision of growth we share with our partner, the Coca-Cola Company. We want to thank you, everyone, who worked hard to make this transaction possible, especially Grupo FEMSA's shareholders, for the trust they place in our management to conduct our business effectively going forward. We expect to conclude this merger successfully this year. We feel that our company is just starting to spread its wings and begin a fantastic journey into the future. With our operators firmly at the helm, we are confident that we will drive our business safely to reach our destination, maximizing our shareholders' value at the forefront of the global beverage industry. Thank you. And now, let me turn the call over to Hector, who will provide you with further details of the transaction and its structure.
Thank you, Carlos. We all appreciate your insights. First, I would like to provide you with some perspective on what this merger represents for our company and the Coca-Cola bottling system. Grupo FEMSA is the fourth largest Coca-Cola bottler in Mexico. They are expected to sell 159 million unit cases of beverages in 2011. Of this volume, 68% are sparkling beverages, 27% is water, and close to 5% are non-carbonated beverages. Among these transactions, most noteworthy benefit is the geographic location of the territories covered by Grupo CIMSA's franchise in Mexico. Their contiguous position will allow us to merge our operations faster and more efficiently. From the standpoint of our portfolio products, when we compare the mix of our Valley of Mexico operations with Grupo CIMSA's franchise, we find that we have a very similar mix in our sparkling beverage portfolio between multi-serve and single-serve, and also between one-way and returnable packages. Importantly, we have detected opportunities to further implement our strategy to selectively increase pricing in these territories. Additionally, we find similarities among the volume generated through our sales channels. For example, we both sell approximately 65% of our volume through the traditional sales channel. This shared trend enables us to capitalize on the innovative strategies we have implemented with our new commercial model, which is oriented to improve the value potential of these important sales channels. We believe this portfolio and commercial opportunities will enable us to improve the profitability of this bottling franchise, which currently enjoys an EBITDA to sales ratio in excess of 20%. Now, I would like to take some time to describe how we are structuring this merger. In addition to the due diligence that led to this merger agreement, this transaction is subject to the completion of confirmatory legal, financial, and operating due diligence process, which we believe will last for approximately 45 business days, and to subsequent customary regulatory and corporate approvals, including the approval of the Coca-Cola Company and the Comisión Federal de Competencia, which is the Mexican Antitrust Authority. During this period, we will call for an extraordinary shareholders meeting to approve the transaction. Pursuant to our agreement, Grupo CIMSA shareholders will receive 75.4 million newly issued Series L shares of Coca-Cola FEMSA at a value of 118 Mexican pesos per share, calculated on the average closing price of our company's Series L shares recorded over the last 27 trading days prior to the announcement of this agreement. The number of shares could change based on agreed thresholds pending the completion of the previously mentioned 45-day due diligence process. Additionally, as part of this transaction, Coca-Cola FEMSA will assume 2.1 billion pesos in net debt. As a result of this issuance and the shares to be issued in connection with our merger with Grupo Tampico's beverage division, the new corporate structure of Coca-Cola FEMSA will be as follows. One, FEMSA will own 50%. The Coca-Cola Company will own 29.4%, and our Series L shares will account for 20.6%. It is important to note that the agreement reached between the parties provides for significant penalties if the transaction is not completed under certain circumstances, including the failure to approve the merger at either party's extraordinary shareholders meeting. Considering all of these factors, the aggregate enterprise value of this transaction is 11 billion Mexican pesos. Grupo CIMSA is expected to generate revenues of approximately 4.8 billion pesos during this year, and the estimated on an estimated pro forma basis, it will generate EBITDA of 1.1 billion pesos. This implies an enterprise value to EBITDA multiple of 10 times. Based on the structure of this transaction and considering our merger with Grupo Tampico's beverage division, our pro forma net debt to EBITDA ratio will be close to 0.5 times, maintaining the healthy financial position that we have enjoyed over the past several years. We strongly believe that the structure we have designed provides benefits for every party involved. Through our new entities' enhanced presence in Mexico, including the volumes from Grupo Tampico merger, we will now manage 50% of the Coca-Cola bottling system in Mexico. Consequently, as Carlos just mentioned, we will further expand our leadership position in the Mexican Coca-Cola bottling system. As previously noted, we will merge a profitable and contiguous bottler with Coca-Cola FEMSA Mexican operation. This will allow us to integrate this operation quickly and to increase the potential synergies that we expect to begin capturing within the next 18 to 24 months. At this point, we believe these potential synergies will be approximately 260 million pesos per year at the EBITDA level and will come mostly from fixed costs, revenue management, procurement, SG&A, and logistics. With regard to the efficiency of assets, as a result of the preliminary due diligence process that was conducted, we have detected opportunities to extract synergies from both manufacturing and distribution. Specifically, we see attractive opportunities to maximize the efficiency of our production lines by better segmenting which products make most sense to produce in each production facility, avoiding production bottlenecks and shorter production runs. Furthermore, we could realize additional short to medium-term synergies on our production investments on a system-wide basis by leveraging the production capacity this transaction brings to the table. Moreover, since our new integrated entity will not only provide added capacity for the rest of our territories, but also help us to balance our production runs among our bottling facilities, we will not need to incur significant additional capital expenditures. This means that through this merger, we will reinforce our production capacity for the future growth that we envision in Mexico. As we highlighted when we announced our merger with Grupo Tampico, this transaction also offers several benefits for Grupo Simpson's main shareholders. Economically, it represents the opportunity to transform their bottling investment into a more geographically diversified vehicle that provides more visibility to their investment through the liquid and public series shares of Coca-Cola FEMSA, demonstrating also our flexibility and the attractiveness of our capital structure. We feel honored to partner with Grupo Simpsa shareholders. We sincerely believe that the trust they place in us to conduct their business going forward represents yet another example of the recognition by family-owned bottlers that Coca-Cola FEMSA is the best avenue to continue their exposure to our defensive industry, while leveraging our large and diversified investment vehicle and our operating expertise. We are confident that our combined strengths, the brand preference of our multi-category portfolio brands, and the aligned vision for growth we share with our partner, the Coca-Cola Company, will deliver increased value for our shareholders. As we enter the final part of this year, we continue to see increased global volatility. In the face of such environment, we are optimistic that our focus on the precise execution of our strategies for growth will successfully drive our business into the future. Thank you for your participation in this conference call, and now I would be glad to take any questions that you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you'd like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin. The first question comes from the line of Antonio Gonzalez from Credit Suisse. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the transaction. I wanted to ask two things. First, on dividends, are the L shares that you're issuing in connection to both the Tampico transaction and this transaction eligible to receive full dividends on your next dividend payment, just as any other L share? Or is that not the case? And secondly, How does these two transactions change your overall thinking about dividend distribution? I appreciate your comment, Sector, on no significant CapEx requirements in connection to this transaction. So is there any other consideration that might lower the cash available for next year, or basically we can expect your dividend distribution to keep in line with what we've seen in the last year?
Yes, Antonio, good morning. With respect to your first question, the dividends, both transactions, IMSA and Tampico, will receive exactly the same dividends as any shareholder. There is no special treatment there. The idea that is behind this, and we expressed that in Tampico, when you look at how our volumes have performed in general in the Mexican territories during this year, especially during the first part of the year, we were confronting some bottlenecks in terms of production and distribution capacity. So the idea is that in addition to this synergy, the low-hanging fruit that we usually describe in these mergers, is that in both transactions, our technicians are already working in how to better structure all the value chain and the logistic chain to better schedule production runs and to better distribute our products. So, in general, the comment is that these both transactions bring about some potential savings in investment or capex that we were going to be facing in the future if we have remained alone. That obviously clearly takes to the following question: is if you are reducing the capex number and you have this extraordinary amount of cash in your balance sheet, what would you do with that? We believe that we have, if you look at our track record in terms of dividends, we have increased that significantly over the last 2 or 3 years. The idea that Carlos and I have shared with the board of directors is that we should continue increasing, not at the same pace of doubling every year as we did in the last 2 or 3 years, but to continue increasing the dividend yield. Obviously, as the share price have continued to increase, that brings also some challenges. But that's the general idea that we have been commenting with the finance committee and our board of directors. Obviously, the shareholders meeting, we have to decide that on the next meeting that is scheduled for March. But that's the general trend of how we see things here in that respect.
That's very helpful. Thank you. And if I may ask, on a different topic and probably more on your strategic view, I understand you've mentioned some timing in the past with respect to how would you like to reach other markets, and I understand you expect for maybe the short term and maybe up until the next 1 or 2 years to focus your M&A activity in Latin America, and then probably some years later look at other non-LATAM opportunities. Could you just give us your latest thoughts on that timeline and whether this timing has any changes after these two transactions? Do you think it's probably more just a function of what's your reading of how do you think M&A will evolve in each different geography? Or is there any specific thought on how you would like to deploy your cash over the next 2 to 3 years from an M&A perspective that you could probably share with us?
Yes, Antonio. Very good question. Obviously, M&A transactions are difficult to plan because you always need both sides. You not only need a willing seller, but also a willing not only a willing buyer, but also a willing seller or someone that wants to merge with your operations. So it's difficult to time, and as we have expressed in the past, we maintain a very open and constant dialogue with all the other Coca-Cola bottlers in the system on a worldwide basis. So there are meetings every month in Mexico, every month in Brazil, within the Coca-Cola Bottlers Association, and there are a lot of social opportunities to meet with bottlers around the world. There is a couple of meetings a year on a global basis where we meet with bottlers around the world. So we constantly have dialogues that just to be sharing the latest thoughts of everyone in this front. So we have to keep an open mind, Antonio, here in how these opportunities are presented. We have expressed in the past that Latin America is very easy for us because we are here in Latin America. We have 9 countries, the most important cities in Latin America, so it's very easy to capture synergies and to continue growing in that respect. But Latin America is not always available. In this case, we have had this opportunity to do not only Tampico and CIMSA, but also the Estrella Azul transaction in Panama at the beginning of the year. So we have been lucky in that respect that the transactions had happened in those areas. But as we have expressed in the past, we also see opportunities in other geographies, probably more in the medium term. We have expressed that as those opportunities present to us, we'll certainly analyze them because we think that we have the capabilities to evolve and move to other places around the world also. No?
Let me add one comment to this because I think it's very important to remember that when you are talking about a strategic view, it's important to remember that it's not just the financial side of the transaction. For us, it has been very, very important to take care about the skills and capabilities that the company needs to do that. Maybe the most important thing that we can tell about the past transactions that we have made in Coca-Cola FEMSA is that we have always made a successful transactions. That when we start operating the new companies, even with new categories, Jugos del Valle is a very, very good example, we grow the company, we have found different alternatives to maintain a very good piece, a very good movement in the new company and the new activity. We dedicate a lot of our time trying to develop these new skills and new capabilities. All these things that we have explained in some of our meetings with you about the way that we manage, for example, the market with the GBC, the management of the clients with the segmented orientation, is the only way that you can handle successful all the categories that now we have in our trucks. It's the only way that you handle a very difficult environment in which you have to sell different commercial needs to different dimensions of consumers. For us, has been very, very important to maintain at the same time that we take care of the financial side of the transaction, all the capabilities and the development of new skills in Coca-Cola FEMSA.
Thank you very much, Carlos and Hector, and congratulations again on the transaction.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Lore Serra from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, and also congratulations on the transaction. I wondered if I could ask two questions, please. One is if you could give us any thoughts, and Hector, you talked a bit about it, but you know this is the third sort of independent bottler transaction we've seen in Mexico this year, which is a lot given you know the pace in the last few years in Mexico. So clearly something's changing. Do you anticipate this activity continuing? And then the second question is, I think unlike Tampico, it doesn't seem like the owners of CIMSA are taking board positions. I'm not sure if that's correct or not. I just wanted if you could confirm that and give us a sense of what their role might be going forward. And when Carlos was talking about the social and economic value of the transaction, I'd love to understand what he meant by the social value. That would be really helpful, please. I guess that was a lot of questions.
Good morning. Yes. Good morning, Lori. Thank you for your comments. You're right. I mean, if you look at the past years and what had happened during 2011 in the Mexican industry, clearly the pace have accelerated a lot in terms of M&A activity. If you remember when NAC and Comtal announced the transaction, I did comment that in our perspective, in Coca-Cola Venza perspective, we thought that would create for all the bottlers to start thinking about the strategic future, for the independent bottlers to start thinking of the future in this industry. And I think that is basically what has happened. You know, everyone is analyzing the strategy, the environment that we are. I think that the fact that Coca-Cola Venza is providing a very good track record in terms of performance and in the profitability of the company and the share price in the past, the diversification that it brings to the table also by being present in 9 countries and the benefits of a diversified portfolio of geographies are stimulus to this activity. It's difficult to predict again if this will continue, but I'm sure that the rest of the independent bottlers are at least doing some analysis internally to question if they should stay independent or if they should merge with either of the companies that are available to do something like that, and clearly evaluating their positions. That's basically, I think, what is fair to say in this respect. You know, I think that everyone will be analyzing that and see what's happening in the future. You know? With respect to the board of directors seat, we have the negotiation with the main shareholders of CIMSA. They were happy with the idea of being a shareholder of the company to receive quarterly information as every shareholder. And they were not in a specific need to be participating in the board of directors. However, we feel very important that we should continue to have an important dialogue with them. And the idea is that we will share and do specific presentations to them every quarter after we report the numbers to the public, because it's important the insights that they can share with us because as you can imagine, this has also been a very, very successful operation for them, and we want to share their experience. So they will not be sitting in our board of directors at this moment, but we will continue to have very close contact with them, sharing the results of the company on a quarterly basis.
Okay, and I guess, you know, I just wanted to understand when you were talking about the social value. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, should we be thinking about, you know, COF will basically operate the franchise and make whatever operating decisions it sees fit to make?
Let me answer, Lori. Good morning. In the strategy that we have in Coca-Cola FEMSA, and we try to explain always that our strategy is based in 5 different legs. One of these legs is the social responsibility of our company. And we believe that the only way that we can maintain and keep growing our businesses in the future is when you have a sustainable things that help the communities in which you operate. In the case of Grupo CIMSA, and also was the case of the Grupo Tampico, they have their own foundations trying to do different activities in their communities. We want not just to maintain the activities that the Grupo CIMSA and Grupo Tampico have done in the past. We want to grow and to add all the initiatives that we have in Coca-Cola FEMSA, mainly related with water, mainly related with the environment, and mainly related with the social help to the poor communities in which we operate. That kind of things we want to explain. But the most important thing that I would like to deliver to you is that this is part of our strategy. It's one of the legs that we have in our strategy. Important than the strategy of acquisition, of innovation, or growth, organic growth in the company, or even the develop of new skills. We are convinced that in all the world, but most important in Latin America, it's important that our companies develop a very important activities related with their own communities.
Thanks. That's helpful. Then maybe just one very quick follow-up. But from a day-to-day operating point of view, are the former shareholders of CIMSA going to be involved in the operations or not?
The answer is no for the shareholders in the day-to-day operation. The management and the workers in CIMSA obviously will when we finish the merger will start working together with us and then we will deploy and redeploy the talent pool that we have we're acquiring in CIMSA accordingly, you know, as we have done in the past.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
You have to remember, Lore, that in all the transactions that we have done, always we take the advantage of the very, very important talent that we find in the companies. CIMSA has been a very, very good run company, and obviously we detect an important talent that we are going to take the advantage for them, and obviously to offer new positions and new possibilities in a larger company as Coca-Cola FEMSA is.
Terrific. Thanks very much, and congrats again.
The next question comes from the line of Celso Sanchez from Citi. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I just wondered if you could give a little more color on, you talked a little bit about potential restructuring production footprints and optimizing.
Can you talk louder, please, Celso?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
No.
Okay. Hi. So you talked a little bit before about restructuring.
Now it's good.
Okay, good. Restructuring the production footprint to optimize what products and or SKUs you produce in what plants. And just thinking a little bit more about categories, the still category, clearly, specifically juices, is an opportunity. Do you see it accelerating with the contiguous territories, the contiguity of these new territories? Does that help accelerate that process, do you think, or is it really just a broader market issue that does not necessarily benefit from the improved logistics?
No, clearly, so there are many opportunities. When you look at the geographic footprint of CIMSA, it's basically, if CIMSA were to be a square, is surrounded in three of the sites by Coke FEMSA. Only in the south part of that imaginary square is the franchise that covers Acapulco. So we have a very strong proximity. We even have plants in the same city, in the city of Toluca. Remember that the largest, one of the largest plants of Coca-Cola FEMSA is in the city of Toluca, and we were not selling a single case of Coca-Cola in that city. It's an important concentration of population in our country. They also have a production plant there. The analysis that we have done so far is that at the very beginning, we start doing what you're saying, restructuring the flow of the production value chain so that we do longer runs, start specializing some production lines for certain products and certain categories, and potentially in the future, once we have a better grip on this and better analysis, we could theoretically consolidate the two production plants in one, moving workers and production lines to our big center in Toluca, where we have a lot of space. But in the very beginning of this process, the idea is to try to really do a lot of a very profound analysis on how can we better manage the logistics, not only in production but also in distribution, as these very large cities present a lot of traffic problems, and then you can better serve certain parts of the cities with one production plant versus the other. So there will be some synergies that we'll do at the very beginning, but potentially we can also improve or enlarge those synergies in the midterm. With respect to other categories, certainly with CIMSA was, as well as our operation, the Valley of Mexico, we're doing working with the other categories very importantly, but it's always nice to have a very coherent strategy in a marketplace like the Great Valley of Mexico that now we will cover as we include Toluca in our operations.
But just to be clear, is there any marginal benefit for stills that is greater with this improved logistics and production planning than it would be for soft drinks? In other words, does it help still beverages accelerate and improve even more, or not necessarily?
Yes, Celso, let me give you one example here, or a couple of examples. In terms of the juices and nectars, we have a pretty much centralized production capacity for the whole country, as Jugo del Valle has a very large plant at the north of Mexico City, one in Monterrey, etc. And also, so we do have already some benefits by centralization in those categories. But very importantly, and I think that is something that we will a reverse synergy in this case, is that CIMSA has very, very good productivity on route to market for water. That, as we have expressed in the past, and you have been in some of the conference, in our case in COFEMSA, we have done some experiments, we have improved a lot, but we have not get to the levels of the efficiency that CIMSA has, so we think that we will learn also significantly in that category, in steel, in water, and home delivery. It's an opportunity that we find that I think we will learn from some of the experiences that CIMSA has.
Okay, great, thanks. And I'm not sure if I missed some numbers before, but can you just remind us with these acquisitions and put some numbers to the CapEx help that they're giving you, or reduced CapEx? Can you remind us again CapEx for this year and CapEx for the pro forma next year of these organizations, how to think about that?
Yes, more or less, if you look at the last year, and last year COFEMS alone was around $550 million. This year is a little bit more, around $600 million. And remember that we have a couple of production facilities that we will build in Brazil and Colombia that will put a little bit more pressure for next year on CapEx. But Mexico, my expectation is that with these two acquisitions, we will substantially reduce the – we haven't provided a figure. We are in the business plan process as we speak, actually, as we –
this week.
As we finish this conference, we will move to a hotel room to start looking at all of those numbers. But the idea is that we'll substantially reduce CapEx on production facilities in Mexico for next year. We'll continue investing in coolers and bottles and cases, which is more, and trucks, obviously, as are more the recurrent CapEx that we have. Probably for the next conference call, we will be able to share some numbers with respect to next year in terms of CapEx in Mexico.
Okay, thank you. But for now, can you give us an idea of what the CapEx run rate is for the two acquisitions? And in each case, is it $50 million each, roughly, for 2011 or 2010, if that's better? Can you give us a rough idea of what those CapEx numbers were, just so we can have an idea of order of magnitude?
Yes. Yes, in general, both companies that are similar in size have in their plans for this year, they were running around $30 million each on CapEx. So once we close this acquisitions or these mergers, we'll review those numbers as an integral part of our own Coca-Cola FEMSA Mexico operations and review that. But those were the run rates on those two companies that were very similar in size.
Very, very helpful. Thank you very much.
I will now turn the call over to Mr. Hector Treviño, Coca-Cola FEMSA CFO.
Well, thank you all for your interest in our company, and Jose Castro and his team are available to answer any remaining questions that you might have, and obviously Carlos and myself will be available also to answer some more questions. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your presence.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.